Wow, thank you so much. Thank you. I need to take a breath. I listened to that. Thank you, whoever wrote that. That is just beautiful. I'm like, wow. Honestly, one thing just led to another. One thing just led to another as I dedicated myself to spirit. And as I stand here right now, beholding all of you, acclimating to being in this presence, because it completely shifted and changed while I was sitting in this seat here. And I see it, yeah, and I see the beauty and light and love of God wherever I look. And so thank you so much for welcoming me into your sanctuary, into your home, and into your heart. What I would like to reflect back to you as somebody coming here for the first time and beholding you is that you already have built a beautiful city of light, of love, of transformation, and fulfilling your vision and your mission. And so that's something that when somebody comes in with fresh new eyes can see just by being in your presence. And so I want to start by thanking the search committee and the board of trustees, which we've spent time together on interviews, looking at little squares on Zoom, and what a joy it is to meet people in person and to be welcomed in the way that I have been, and to meet the leaders of this community. And then to have the honor and privilege to stand on your platform here and to hear the music. Thank you so much. What an amazing music team that you do indeed have here. And it's a privilege to be with you. You open the heart, and it's beautiful. And of course, the children aren't in here right now, but wasn't that just beautiful and amazing? So you already are this beautiful city. And so that's something that I wanted to acknowledge, my gratitude and the importance of this, of being a city, a beautiful city, a city of light and love in our world right now, and how vitally important that is. And what I can share with you about myself is that I walk through similar doors into a sanctuary, as was said in the mid-90s at Unity Church of Overland Park, Kansas. And as I have heard from many of you over the last couple days telling your story about walking into this sanctuary here, this is how I felt back then. I felt at home. You know when you walk through and into a space that feels like home. And for me at that time, the message that I heard was transformational in my life. Has anybody here experienced a transformation since you came into this teaching, since you came into this community? Yes, yes. And so for me, what I say, I will actually share that coming into spiritual community and learning unity principles actually saved my life. And I suspect that that may be true for some people here. And there may even be some folks listening and in this physical sanctuary or in the sanctuary of our hearts that on this day, just by being present here, it somehow saves their life. Somehow touch moves and inspires. So that's my mission. When my heart got sparked with this teaching, and as one thing led to another on my pathway, it was the dedication to transforming lives, to touching, moving, and inspiring individuals to realize their divinity and to create their lives from there, and that when we do that, we all become the sparks of the divine in our right and perfect place, in our right and perfect purpose. And lo and behold, we have a world that works for everyone. Lo and behold, we have a beautiful city, and that's part of the vision. that I believe that we share here. And so this is Palm Sunday, and it is an honor and a privilege to be able to be with you at the beginning of Holy Week. It's such a sacred time, and within this Holy Week, within the next 8 days, is our whole journey, our entire journey. And that when we begin to realize that it isn't a journey that just happened 2,000 plus years ago, or by Jesus, or Joshua, or other enlightened masters, it's our journey. And that's what I'm here to share this the journey and the nuggets of truth that we can glean from Palm Sunday and this Holy Week that transform our lives. I feel very passionate that that's what we're here to do, that we're to be participating, not just observing, and that in unity, according to our basic principle number 5, that we become the embodiment of that which we speak of. The most transformational thing that I heard back in the mid-90s when I went into a unity coming from a Catholic upbringing and being told what to think, being told what things meant, the most important thing that I heard was that it was a symbol and a representation or a metaphysical demonstration of something that was true within me. And then it became, oh, wow, this isn't about someone else. This is about us. And so that's part of what the conversation is. And so the title of this message is The Holy City. And so just to break that down, because on this day, the story is that Jesus walked into the city of Jerusalem, and the crowd, like the children coming in, were singing Hosanna, Hosanna, and it was a celebration. It was a joyful entrance into the city of Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem metaphysically means the city of peace. And so Jesus was walking in to the city of peace, and I call it the holy city, because when we're in that peaceful state, in that peaceful consciousness, it is holy. The ground upon which we stand is holy. Not because it's about the ground per se, but it's because we're recognizing that the wholeness of God is everywhere, in everything, back of all that is. And so the ground and the ground upon which we stand and the individual that stands upon it is holy. And so we have this opportunity to walk into the holy city on this day. And what does city mean? What is a city? I love the revealing word which identifies from Charles Fillmore that the city means a fixed state of consciousness. A fixed state of consciousness. And whatever the city is named, that's the state of consciousness that we're fixed upon. So we're fixed upon a peaceful state of consciousness. And so this holy city is something that we walk into this world, and we've heard, it's my peace I give to you. It's my peace, not the peace of the world, but the peace of the state of consciousness that is fixed upon knowing that we are one with God and with all that is. So I invite you to take a breath with me here, because one of the things that I want to share with you today, all these years of studying and looking at these stories, you know, becoming a minister and being on a platform and having these conversations with individuals and with groups of people, and we go from Christmas to Easter, we go from birth and crucifixion and resurrection, and year after year I'd be like, oh, here we are again. We're here, and then, you know, we're at Christmas, and then we're at Easter, and it would just go round and round and round. And one of the things that occurred to me is that we keep telling the story until we get it, until we become it. And I feel passionate about that. So I'm going to share with you what has come through me through study and prayer and meditation of how I view this part of the story right now and how I view it. And I want you to try it on for yourselves. One of the things I heard early on in Unity is like, from Reverend Mary Omwake, I'm going to share with you how I'm inspired, but if anybody tells you what to do or how to think, run out the door. It's like, this is for you to consider for yourself, that when Jesus walked into Jerusalem, he was already a master. He was already in his mastery of his ministry. Now, take a breath here. Because what I want to do is like, how are we as individuals in the mastery of our own ministry? I believe that we are all called in some way in our lives. Ministry doesn't just look like this. Ministry looks like every aspect of what we've already seen today. This is ministry. The gifts that we give, the children coming in and those who are guiding and leading them, that's ministry. The way that you greet one another, that's ministry. How are we masterful in our ministry of being the Christ in our lives? And so I believe that he already was that master. He had already performed many miracles, taught thousands of people, raised Lazarus from the dead. That's pretty masterful already, is it not? I would say. And so when I view Jesus walking in to Jerusalem, I believe that it's the pinnacle of his ministry where he is saying, here I am in the mastery of my ministry. And what's going to happen this week is something that I actually called forth. It wasn't bestowed upon me to have a demonstration by God. But in my co-creative ability with God, I decided that I wanted to have a demonstration that people would be talking about for thousands of years. And it isn't that I died, but it's that I live. And that's the demonstration. That's the message. So he comes into Jerusalem already fully into his mastery. And we had this as a question yesterday. What does it mean to be a master in your mastery? And when I look at who he was and how he embodied the gifts that he had, I see a fearlessness and a humility. The symbolism of the conversation, of the talk is, you know, riding in on the donkey, fulfilling the scripture and the prophecy, riding in humbly. And what humility means to me is that we're always in connection with God, always bowing to the divine mind. Always the student while we are still the teacher and the master. We combine that together. So there's a little formula that I wanted to share with you today about walking in our mastery. What can we learn from this story for our own lives? And the very first thing that I want to share with you is I think Jesus knew how to keep the main thing. He kept the main thing. Before every miracle was performed, there was a pausing. And I try to incorporate this in my conversations. We take a breath together. Join me. we pause. And in that pausing, we might look up. We might turn within. But there's a silent acknowledgement. Okay. I'm turning within. I'm connecting with the spirit of my being. I'm keeping the main thing the main thing. And you can do this wherever you are. You can be in a conversation with somebody and you can feel yourself maybe becoming disconnected and just pause and take a breath. Take a good deep breath and say to the self, Spirit, Holy and Divine, are you there? Are you with me? And so the main thing, God first. Our principle says, number one, says there's one power and one presence in all the universe, God, Spirit, love. And so we always connect with that first. I was serving a community that had a vision that I didn't know about at all. And when I was first there, they were taking me for tours and telling me their history. And it was a fascinating story, just a great story. And the way that the sanctuary was situated, I could tell, like, they weren't done yet. But they didn't talk about what their final vision or their original vision was. And then we go off, and in one of the closets, there is a model of their original vision. And in that original vision, the sanctuary was shifted in a different way. And that there was a high point that was going to be where the altar would be, where the platform would be. And it was beautiful. And I just said, what's this doing in here? It was in the corner collecting dust, forgotten about, really. And I imagined, as I knew the history, that over time there became other concerns and distractions which distracted them from their vision, such that it was forgotten. And so we take a breath here. It's that simple. We just pause and we take a breath. We dust off the things that are distracting us or the things that we've forgotten about, and we're like, oh yeah, God first. That high point in our consciousness, we keep that before us and we keep remembering it and bringing our attention to it every time we take a breath and pause. So God first, the main thing, the main thing. The first slide says this, and this is what we can practice. There is only one relationship that is of value in my life, and that is my relationship with God. Now you might say, well, what about everybody else? What about my spouse? What about my children? What about my neighbor? But when we keep that main thing, the main thing, everything else takes care of itself. It's dedicated to that high point, that one relationship. And you know what it does? It keeps things simple, doesn't it? You only have to remember one thing. That's it. I know for me, that's good. So the second thing I think that we can learn from Jesus as he's walking in as the master, as in his mastery, is that he knew who he was. He knew his divine identity. When you see me, you see the Father. I say it like this. When you see me, you see the Father, Mother, Presence, God. There's a transparency. There's an acknowledgement, oh yeah, I'm as God created, not as I made up. Not as my bio says. Those are all lovely things. And yes, I may have a title, Rev. That's not who I am. And you're not your business card. You're not your resume. These are beautiful ways that we've expressed in the world but what we are as God created. Spirit, holy and divine, and we call it the Christ. Within each of us, that spark of the divine abides. And when we focus on it and when we begin to give our attention to that God first, I am. So our second principle, as exemplified by Jesus, the Christ is within us. And it's our turn now to allow it to lead. Allow that to lead. So it reminds me of this story. And in this story, we can go ahead and bring up the next slide, please. Anybody familiar with this golden Buddha and the story of the golden Buddha? Now, we can look at that Buddha, and it's 5.5 tons. It's 83% gold. We can see its grandeur and its beauty. But if we were to have walked past that Buddha in the 1950s in Thailand, where it was sitting, all we would see is dark clay around it. And in the 1950s, when they attempted to move it, they had a little mishap, and part of that clay chipped away, and somebody noticed that there was something shining underneath. And they started chipping away at it, and lo and behold, what was beneath was this gold Buddha. Now, centuries ago, that Buddha was covered in clay because it needed to be hidden to protect it from invading forces in the area. So in an effort to protect the treasure, it was covered up and then forgotten about, like in the closet. Our divine identity, though we may not feel it in the moment, is there. What God created can never be uncreated. It is eternal. It is brilliant. And it is within each of us. Say to the self, and you may tap your shoulder or place the hand before the heart, I am as God created me. I am as God created me. You can actually utter those words if you wish. I am as God created. Feel that. I am as God created. So that divine was recognized by Jesus in his mastery. As he walked into the city of Jerusalem, he knew who he was. He knew who he was as spirit. He knew how he served. And it wasn't to hide who he is, but it is to glorify. And so the next slide, which is found within the scripture of John. Well, that's David. That's David. And so it is said that Michelangelo, when asked how David was revealed, the sculptor, he said he just took away that which was unnecessary, right? Just taking away the excess. And isn't that what we do in our lives? Isn't that what our journey is? And so our journey becomes that. I'm going to pause here for a second because there's a quote I'm looking for, and it says that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. So this Holy Week, the hour has come for us to be glorified. Not just Jesus 2,000 years ago who became the Christ, but for each of us to allow the revealing of the divine identity within us, within each one of us. So I'm pausing here because I'm going to invite you to take a breath with me. And as we do so, we allow the main thing to become the main thing. We remember our divine identity. I think one of my favorite parts of the story, and we can remove that slide, please. Just go to a blank slide. Thank you. I think one of my favorite aspects of this story is that there's a period of time where we think, oh gosh, they're asking us to walk this way, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and Holy Week. But when we know what's about to happen, who wants to walk that way? You? I think that we've been taught that we need to walk in the way of suffering. And I think that we've avoided following because we thought that, and we're taught that that's what that meant. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be crucified. I don't know about you, but I don't want to suffer. I don't know about you, but I don't want the thorn, you know, the crown of thorns upon my head, and the way that the story goes, and the way that it's been focused on for centuries and centuries. But what I know is that if you know the way the story ends, if you know that there's a resurrection, if you know that these things we do to ourselves day in and day out, and that they're really just supposed to be an example for how we transcend, then maybe we can let it go. When I first walked into Unity Church of Overland Park, having been a Catholic girl, I was looking for symbols. And I remember that there was the symbol, very similar, I was noticing, to this right here, the star, the sun, the light, but that there was a cross in the middle. And I remember that in some ways I didn't want to see Jesus on the cross. But in other ways, I did because it was familiar and it made me comfortable. And so I remember asking Reverend Mary, because there was this symbol and there was a cross, but there was no Jesus on it. And I'm like, what does this mean? Where is it? Why isn't it there? And she told me it's because we don't focus on the crucifixion, we focus on the resurrection. And I always loved that answer because I felt like it was such a quintessential, freeing answer for me that kind of freed me from how I was raised and what I thought. Because if I'm focusing on that, then I never really get to the point of the story that it's all about. And it's about that rising and that resurrection. And so when I think of the demonstration of that crucifixion and knowing that Jesus is going to walk through that, that what I know is that he's really offering us a teaching. And that incumbent in that teaching is a teaching, not of suffering, but a teaching of what it's like to walk in the world of separation. And that it's a teaching of projection. And all he is saying is that I look to the left, and I release the past, and I look to the right, and I let go of the future, and I make God the main thing. Into thine hands I commend my spirit, and I rise. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to stop this idea of suffering and crucifixion, and when we know the way the story ends, that's what we focus on. We focus on that. And along the way, all we're ever doing is sorting life. Am I giving peace as I walk into the habitation of peace? Or am I giving crowns of thorns, pain, regret, the regret of the past, the worry of the future. And all along the way, we're just sorting that out, giving lilies of peace, crowns of thorns, and that's it. And so when we keep God the main thing, and we remember our divine identity within us, we rise. My beautiful brothers and sisters in this community, I just want to say that we all have this opportunity this week, today, this moment, to practice this in our lives. We have this opportunity because we're all always at a crossroads. We're all always in transition in this human experience. But what we have then is that within our lives and within our spiritual communities, we walk this way. I feel excited to be in your presence, to have this opportunity to share this with you, in the hopes that it may touch, move, and inspire you where you're at in your journey, in your personal life, as well as in the life of this community. I see you and I behold you in your mastery now, as God created you, and as your vision guides you forward. And so it is. Amen. Amen. And so we take this breath here. We move into a meditation for a moment. And as we turn within, we allow the breath of God to breathe us. And as we do so, we may allow the words that you hear to become the words of the higher self of your being. And I will utter these words in the first person. Please make them your own. I am as God created me. I am light. I am love. I am beauty. I know who I am as spirit, holy and divine. I know what I am as Christ, as the Word of God, as love in form. And I know how I serve by remembering this and extending only love, only lilies of peace. I allow myself, my higher self, to lead, to come forth. Any sense of separation or fear slips away. And I abide in this moment as Christ. And I breathe in and out the love of God. In the stillness in a moment, I allow this to be who I am, what I am, how I serve. I say thank you, Mother, Father, God, Infinite Spirit. I abide now and forevermore in this fixed state of consciousness of love. As I go forth from here, multiplying this consciousness in all I am and all I do. Thank you. Amen.